It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the governor and the legislature strive to enact the state budget bill by the end of next month, we check in on how budget negotiations are going in Joint Finance, the influential 16-member budget writing committee. Call in with questions and thoughts about the state budget, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Evan Goyke is a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee, member of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Representative Goyke, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Well, let's get a pulse on how budget negotiations are going. How would you characterize how Joint Finance Committee is working right now?
Well, we started with a flurry on May 2nd, and since then we've been working our way through some smaller state agencies. And last week we tackled some important issues that actually had some bipartisan support. And this week you're going to see the two parties really diverge. And, you know, tomorrow we start talking about the Department of Workforce Development, and that includes a lot of discussion about workers' rights and labor conditions. And you'll see the two parties, like I said, diverge there. And we really get heated as we roll into June and take on some of the biggest issues in the state budget, like public education and healthcare and taxes. That'll really define the month of June's debate.
Do you feel you're on track to meet the budget deadline?
Yeah, I think that the two co-chairs have announced that we will be on time. I get a sense there's some fractures between the Senate and Assembly. That always happens. For example, on Thursday, we had a long delay before we actually began debate on the Department of Natural Resources budget. And when there's that long delay, that's usually fighting between the Senate Republicans and Assembly Republicans. But they have signaled that we're on track, and I think we are so far to meet that June 30 deadline.
On Joint Finance, two-thirds of the committee is Republican. Do Democrats on the committee like yourself feel heard?
Sometimes. I mean, we do our best to make sure that we're heard. Sometimes that means we turn the volume up. Sometimes that means we work together between the four of us members to make sure that we are, you know, really hitting points home. That is always a difficult question to answer because we are outnumbered 12-4. And you hear that number a lot, that we lose a motion 12-4 or that the majority's motion is adopted 12-4. But yeah, I think the four of us, Democrats, work very closely together. I think we've got a really great team with different backgrounds and skill sets, and so far have complemented one another to ensure that each day the major topics of the day and the kind of counter argument to the majority party is effectively made.
Well, let's take a call about the historic surplus before the state. John in Boaz is here. John, hi, what's on your mind?
I would like to know if your experts can tell you how much interest are we gaining with the $5 billion surplus, you know, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
So as the surplus sits there, John wonders, what is the interest accumulation there?
Well, it's a great question, John. There should be some interest. I don't have a hard number for you. What I can tell you is what we talk about this surplus as being a cash balance at the end.
Representative Goyke, are you still there? We're having trouble hearing you. I think we just lost Representative Evan Goyke, Democratic member of the legislature's budget writing committee. You can join in with your questions as we talk about the state budget. Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We're going to get into the shared revenue in just a moment here. Representative Goyke, can you hear us?
I'm here. I can hear you.
Okay, good, good. Well, I want to turn to shared revenue now. Last week, Assembly Republicans announced several changes to shared revenue plan. And then hours later, an amended bill was passed. How do you feel about the negotiations that took place ahead of voting?
Well, I was disappointed that we didn't see more collaboration before the vote. I remain optimistic that there will be changes made in the state Senate. This is such a critical issue and such a critical bill for every single Wisconsinite. It is too important to be locked in a partisan stalemate. And I'm hopeful that we get something done, that it's a final product that both sides can agree on. And as mentioned, it delivers needed aid to every single corner of the state. So this is something we've got to get right. We can't let it go down in a partisan stalemate. So I'm optimistic.
So the Republican shared revenue plan says almost all local governments would receive at least 15% in existing county and municipal aid. Governor Evers proposed 10%. Which plan do you support?
Well, the question is not whether or not I support delivering that aid or that relief. It's whether or not that aid comes with strings attached and what those strings are. So my objections to the bill passed last week in the assembly were the conditions applied to local governments that receive aid, specifically the community that I live in and represent, Milwaukee County, where a number, maybe even a dozen different policy initiatives were attached to the bill. And frankly, many of them do not speak to the budget of the city or the county. Two of them involved public education and schools. And I feel it's not appropriate to attach that degree of strings to the bill.
Right, because the legislation includes, as you mentioned, a list of requirements for local governments to meet. You know, what in particular do you see problems with? Which policies in particular? I mean, one was maintaining a level of law enforcement. Another was no money for diversity, equity, and inclusion type staffing. Which in particular are you concerned about?
Well, I think that second piece that you hit, the diversity, equity, inclusion, is a major challenge for me. I represent a majority-minority district in the assembly. And it's a broader issue than just that policy. It's about self-governance. It's about the autonomy of local elected officials being able to use tax dollars, my property tax dollars, the way we elect them to do. So it's broader than just one piece like DEI. There were changes at the last minute about how that law enforcement and fire funding, what we call a maintenance of effort, the level of funding necessary for local governments in those areas. And I think that change was a positive step in the right direction, but we still have to address many of the policies that are specific to Milwaukee.
What about part of the plan that includes going to referendum for Milwaukee or Milwaukee County, asking voters to support, a sales tax increase? What do you see there?
I find it to be a challenge. I think voters in Milwaukee have endorsed in previous iterations through referendum an increased sales tax, but not like this, not structured like this. The majority of these funds would go to address our pension obligation. And I just don't see the electorate embracing an increase in taxation to pay off or to pay down debts incurred before many of the voters were alive, and to people that, you know, they're owed their pension, but many of whom do not live in Milwaukee anymore. So I have very serious concerns that a referendum would not be successful. I also have confidence in the people that I elect locally to the city council and to the county board. I think that they should be able to make that decision. And we have 68 of 72 counties in Wisconsin that have enacted a local 0.5% sales tax. We do that through enabling legislation to have the county board make that choice, not a referendum. We have communities that have increased sales tax for tourism, like the Wisconsin Dells. They do that through enabling legislation, not through referendum. So that the legislature giving local sales tax authority has not required a referendum. And I think in this instance, to ensure that we get this done and ensure that we have these revenues and help Milwaukee County and the city out, that we do it through enabling legislation.
Let's turn now to the pay of public defenders and the justice system. Joint Finance Committee Republicans recently approved a measure that would increase hourly wages for assistant district attorneys and public defenders. Does this wage plan provide enough support to the state's criminal justice workforce?
Well, I would first mention that it was a 16-0 vote. We had all Democrats and Republicans agreeing that our justice system actors desperately need more bodies in the system to handle cases, and those individuals that are working in that capacity need a raise. Over the weekend, I heard from a number of friends that I was a public defender in Milwaukee County, and I'm still very close with a number of lawyers in that system, and they reported directly to me that it was a godsend, or it will be, and that it's desperately needed. I think morale took a huge boost in the prosecutor and public defender offices. So time will tell if this is enough. One of the points that Democrats made in the committee, where we will have to come back and address, is the additional support staff for prosecutors and public defenders. And that will be necessary as technology and science changes, the type of evidence that the criminal justice system uses is changing and becoming more complex. That takes the form in things like body camera evidence that people have to watch that can be hours and hours and hours, and forensic science and the type of evidence available in cases becomes more complex. So we need to, this was a great first step. We have to pay people. We have to attract and retain good quality lawyers, but we also need to support them with people underneath them to help them process the cases in a timely fashion.
We have Milwaukee Representative Evan Gwaike, Democratic member of the legislature's Budget Writing Committee. Share your thoughts on the two-year budget. Call in with questions, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report in the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in on developments in the state budget negotiations at the Capitol with a member of the legislature's influential Budget Writing Committee. Still time to share how you feel? Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Democratic State Representative Evan Gwaike of Milwaukee is here. Representative Gwaike, you mentioned at the top that May started with a flurry from Joint Finance Committee. And indeed, earlier this month, Republicans on the committee voted to reject more than 500 items from the proposed budget Governor Evers had put forward. Which key measures were removed?
Well, I'll touch on a few that will be relevant to this week's debate. Tomorrow, in the Department of Workforce Development debate, we should be talking about paid family leave. The governor had proposed creating a program that would function similar to unemployment compensation, where workers and employers would pay into what is essentially an insurance policy for when individuals need paid leave for the birth of a child or an aging parent or an illness. And that was unfortunately removed. It's a policy that we know would benefit tens of thousands of working people in Wisconsin. Similarly, this week we debate the Higher Education AIDS Board, and there are provisions that the governor had proposed to help keep tuition down or free, especially for low-income families in Wisconsin. And we know that there is that providing those incentives for students seeking higher education that come from families that can't pay for college, it's a huge incentive for them to go to get trained, to get an education. And, you know, we have huge challenges in our workforce, especially in places like nursing and education. And, you know, these we think are worthy investments to address that pipeline and put more people in the path to those careers.
So with those types of items off the table, what are the ulterior priorities in the area of workforce development?
Well, I'll tell you, there are more items that the Republicans removed than they are adding. So the Department of Workforce Development in tomorrow's debate is a relatively thin debate. We'll see. They have the opportunity. Just because they were removed doesn't mean items can't be put back in. There is a program called the Fast Forward, which is a grant program to employers to help train and skill up their current employees. And I imagine Republicans will put some additional dollars into that fund. They have done that over the years. It's something that, of course, we support. The governor's recommended adding dollars in that area. But what really will define tomorrow's debate is what we're not debating, which is far larger and more impactful than the policies that we will debate.
What is the impact of Republicans working from base budget and not from the governor's budget document and its proposals?
Yeah, this is a great question, and it gets a little insidery and a little in the weeds, but it's very important because I know
take us there.
That many people listening are passionate about, and advocate and call and email their legislator. What that means is, in order for a new pot of money to be added or a program to be expanded, it will take a proactive majority vote of the Joint Finance Committee. Whereas had we worked off of the governor's budget, it would have taken a proactive majority vote of the committee to not fund that new initiative. And so it seems like a technical change, but what it means is if the committee does not take action on a certain item, that item is not in the budget. So as listeners follow along, it's very important to plug into these hearings to make sure what is added. Because if you're advocating for that thing, if you're adding for postpartum coverage of Medicaid to be expanded, that has to actually be voted on by the committee proactively in a motion in joint finance.
Let's turn now to the historic surplus. We saw the Legislative Fiscal Bureau publishing a slight downward revision on state tax collections last week. And the co-chairs of joint finance, Senator Mark Lyne and Representative Bourne, they reacted using the words cautious budget. What do the Bureau's latest estimates mean to you?
Well, in the text of the Bureau's report, there is a sentence that the co-chairs failed to acknowledge, which is that by most economic indicators, 2023 will not be facing a recession, despite my Republican colleagues claiming that for the last 2 years or so. So it is a downward projection. A lot of that is due to the end of the emergency or health emergency declared at the federal level. I don't think it's a time to return to austerity budgeting with that still closing a budget with nearly $7 billion. I think I lost internet signals, so let's do some broadband expansion and enhancement with some of that one-time money. We have not yet debated the state's capital budget. I can tell you that every single University of Wisconsin campus has tremendous needs and needs investment. The governor has suggested investing nearly $2 billion of one-time money into building projects. That would save us hundreds of millions of dollars over the next couple of decades. So I'm still bullish. I think that there still needs to be investment. And that downward notch of the estimate also came with some other positive economic indicators underneath it. So I do not think it's doom and gloom. I think this should remain a growth budget, and we need to invest this surplus appropriately, but it needs to be invested.
Talking about state budget negotiations with Representative Evan Goyke, Democratic member of the legislature's Budget Writing Committee. You can join in along the way. Call in with the question at 800-642-1234. Representative Goyke, you said this is for the June debates, but what comes with the taxes and, you know, where might we see tax cuts? Republicans want to move toward a flat income tax, which was a topic of conversation earlier this year. Governor Evers proposing tax cuts targeting the middle class. What tax cuts are you seeking?
Yes, the governor's proposed a 10% tax cut for middle class income earners, individuals making $100,000 or less, or married couples making $150,000 or less. I expect the tax debate to be pushed towards the very end of the budget. There are very, very big disagreements between Senate Republicans who remain very focused on flattening the income brackets and buying down that top income tax bracket to benefit the wealthiest individuals, and Assembly Republicans who seem to be somewhere but yet nowhere. They have not really articulated what their posture is, and there's big tension behind the scenes. The Republicans don't necessarily invite me into all of their closed door meetings, but I pick up in talking to them here and there that this is going to be a source of big division and disagreement between the two Republican caucuses. And in the meantime, I think Democrats are rallying behind the governor's plan that we can afford, that brings tax relief to the people that need it the most, this middle class income earners. And I don't see any reason why we need to fight. We can just agree with the governor's plan and move forward.
Very quickly, about 10 seconds here. What key votes are coming this week? What should we watch for in the coming days?
Again, lots of workforce development, labor, higher education, technical colleges, the Department of Revenue on Thursday, which is critical. So lots happening this week and every week in the next 6 weeks or so.
Representative Goyke, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. My pleasure.
Evan Goyke, Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee, member of the legislature's Budget Writing Committee, first elected to the Assembly in 2012. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.